Amsterdam, and he mailed me because he found me on the EFT list, and so he wanted to make an appointment.
Oh,
so he's the first client coming from the internet without me knowing him.
Nice. High five.
And he's not my niche.
It's yeah.
man. That's quite funny. And so tomorrow morning, 9, he's here, and I will start coaching him.
Okay.
And yeah, I think it's because of the holiday. Nobody is answering my mails, so I thought, okay, next week the children are going to school again, and Amsterdam, the vacation is over, so then I'm gonna start putting my face on again.
Okay.
On the picture of on the view, and for the rest, I think the last time I talked to you, I was busy with this emotion machine.
Oh yes.
I don't know if I told you.
Yeah.
And so I went to a thunderstorm of emotions with that not being loved, not being wanted feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And the last 3 weeks were horrible. But the thing was that I was not being the feeling, but I could feel it. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. So I was feeling a really sad, depressed feeling, but I was not the feeling. But it was there, and it was not nice. But I said, I just want to be happy without having to do something like like somebody negative comes in and I have to make it positive. I was tired of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided 3 weeks, whatever comes, it comes, and I'm going to let it be. And till one moment that I'm going to be happy just by being. And the funny thing is that the last 3 days were really horrible. I was like, oh my God, how long is this going to take? 3 years or something. So my husband had really had to deal with that. That was horrible for him. But yesterday it was the top of the top, and I was really like, gee, am I gonna stand this? But what happened is today it's gone, really gone.
Nice.
And I haven't done anything of what kind of exercise, it's gone. And I feel soft, happy. So I don't know what happened, but my conclusion is, if you want to get rid of your negative child feelings, just let it be and wait till the storm goes over. And so, but it's just one day. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or whatever trigger comes along, what happens, but I think I'm quite there, so let the business come.
Good. And so that kind of sounds like you've just been accepting the presence of the emotion.
Yeah,
and fighting it.
Exactly. And
yeah.
But the thing is also that a lot of I used a lot of NLP and neurosemantic methods,
mm-hmm.
but in the end, that's my feeling. It's just one person I tried it on, and that's myself. But I tried it on in the most perfectionism way. Like I tried weeks with affirmation that I really believe and could feel, but nothing helped. And the only thing that's for now, I think, is just give yourself permission to really feel what's in there and let it be there till it's decided by itself to go away or something. I don't know how it works.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's the whole essence of dealing with troubling emotions. You know, what I see a lot with when people have done NLP or neurosemantics, like if we don't like something, we think we can just fix it, you know, getting rid of it. And a lot of the time it's the counterintuitive. Welcome it in, because it has something, you know, it has information in there. And as you welcome it in, then then the emotion doesn't have you, but you have the emotion.
Exactly, that's exactly the feeling. That's really nice how you put it there.
And that's really powerful.
So that's my story.
Nice.
Yeah, it's I use it now on my clients. The only thing is that I just want to know for sure if this is something temporary or solid forever. So I'm like in a I can give this to people, but I have to be sure that it's working. But I think I'm quite sure.
What I'm hearing is that you still say I don't want this emotion to be.
No, that I don't want it. That's for sure, because I'm not two anymore. I'm 44.
Okay.
So the emotion belongs at a two-year child. So no, I don't want it because it's not from the now.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that I have to let it come in and let it go by itself. When it decides by itself to go away. So it's not me putting it away. That's the difference. So no, I don't like to be depressive. No, I don't want to be depressive.
Right, of course.
Or upset or jealous or whatever. But yes, it is there, and it's something about the past, so I have to deal with it. Mm-hmm. So I have it to look at this place or something like that.
Well, and the thing is that as human beings, like having the expectation of being happy or like of always having positive emotions is almost, that's, we have sadness, we have anger, we do get hurt. This
exactly.
morning, this, like from my experience, the last 2 weeks, or actually a little bit longer, there's been something like I've been angry about and sad because of something that someone else has done. And I didn't allow myself to express that until this morning. I sent him an email. But these are healthy emotions, you know, like emotions inform us. So we go through them. And the more we embrace them and take the information from it that is trying to tell us, the easier we move through it so that we don't stay in it. And once we start fighting it, that's when we stay in it. So my guess is that you probably, as you just like let it be, it's going to be shorter and shorter time periods.
Yeah, and I think it's really good to when an emotion come in, to see if it's a child emotion or an emotion that somebody with the age of 44 being independent and that can take care of herself. What is appropriate? Appropriate, is that the word?
Appropriate. And even, you know, because that even at an adult age, there's plenty of people who, because of the cognitive distortions that we have, you know, we create inappropriate responses or responses that are not, how do I say that, that are not equal to the trigger, because
exactly,
because we give it so much meaning. And and then we can clear that.
Yeah,
nice,
for sure.
So what is it for the next 2 weeks that I can help you with?
No, I'm out of business at the moment, so I was so busy with dealing with myself.
Mm-hmm.
That's Monday I'm gonna sit again, the children are school gonna start the module. I don't even know where I'm at. I think I'm at module 7.
Okay.
I'm gonna start reading again and pick up where I left it.
Okay.
And so Monday, it's all focused on the business again.
Sounds good. If you have any questions, just drop me an email.
Yeah, I will. Thank you.
Perfect. Thanks, Vanessa, and thank you for sharing.
Okay, Femke. Yeah.
Okay, Neil, you're up next. Good morning.
Good morning, Femke.
How are you?
Can you hear me? Yeah, very good. Thank you.
Nice. I saw your diagram on Facebook. Very nice.
Yeah, there's a story behind that, of course, as there most often is. It came from a conversation very recently that I had with a psychotherapist.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't the client in the conversation, by the way.
Right.
But we're talking about a few things and their focus on therapy and a couple of really interesting reactions came up when I spoke about positive psychology and things like that. So there was quite an adverse response
mm-hmm.
to that whole concept of positive psychology, which I found quite interesting. And then sort of to balance that, there was a really interesting response, I suppose, to very little change that are inside the meta-coaching framework.
Mm-hmm.
So it was interesting to see how a psychotherapist responded to some of the neurosemantic frameworks and coaching styles. And it really clarified in a very obvious way that simple and critical distinction between therapy and coaching. And then for me, it was like, well, you know what? The coaching I'm doing is generative coaching.
Mm-hmm.
So making that clear distinction for me between, performance coaching, even the difference between transformational coaching into what my meaning is around generative coaching.
Right.
So that's why that picture came up.
Right, nice.
So I suppose a bigger question around that is having a simple picture that can be a talking point
mm-hmm.
when we're having an introductory conversation with someone and they ask questions about, well, what is this thing called meta-coaching? Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah, exactly. So, I think it's really powerful. Having something like that, it sparks curiosity, and it's a great talking, it's like a opener, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very nice. So how else have you been doing?
Well, in the last couple of weeks, I've actually gone all the way through APG again.
Uh-huh.
And I've done like a picture summary of all the patterns in APG.
Mm-hmm.
And the question I'm holding for that, I think, is around how and when to bring some of those into a coaching conversation.
Okay.
And even like listening to Vanessa this morning, hearing her say something like that, in effect, she used the metastating troubling emotions pattern on herself.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got this little resource document, which, again, I'm happy to share on the Facebook group if that's going to be interesting or useful for people.
Okay.
But the question there is really about using this depth of resource
mm-hmm.
within coaching conversations.
Yeah.
Like when and how, I suppose,
right.
is the question I'm thinking about.
Have you seen my the webinar that I did on NLP and neurosemantics patterns in coaching?
I think I have seen that, although it might be time to have another look at that if I can find it again.
Yeah, let me just send the link. Like, I'll put it in the chat box.
Okay.
Because I think that's gonna give you some answers on when to use it. But in short, essentially, when do you want to use a pattern? Like for example, let's take self-esteem versus self-confidence, and you notice in the way that your client is talking, how they're using their language, you notice that he or she is confusing who they are with what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And so as you notice that, you can bring that to their awareness and then ask a testing question. Is that something that we need to address? The confusion between the, that you might need to then do a little bit of teaching. That's where you can put your training hat on to explain the difference so that your client is better informed to make the decision of, oh, now I get it. Yes, that's what I'm doing, and I need to separate that. And then, so that's like, as you know the distinctions of each pattern, metastating troubling emotions is if someone is fighting their emotions and not wanting to feel them, and then asking, well, how much permission do you have to feel sadness or depression or to feel anger? So it really has to do with listening to the distinctions that your client is making and then picking up, okay, this is sounds like this is about lack of power. So someone doesn't feel like they have a choice in their responses. And there's blaming involved and stuff like that. So then they don't have that response ability. Then you want to do the power zone pattern. And once you go through that, you can either do that like explicitly, like, you know, get someone to stand up and go through the process that way, or you can do it conversationally as well.
Yes.
So, does that help?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, particularly when you mentioned, you know, I suppose that stepping out into teaching for a moment.
Yeah.
So being really clear about, you know, I'm coaching now, or I'm training now, or I'm teaching now, or I'm mentoring now.
Yeah.
That was really useful to hear that.
Nice.
To be able to very easily step in and out of, you know, the different ways of being with someone during the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's like that's a clean switch between different ways of doing things.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Yeah.
Linked to that also, I'm actually going through the Source Book of Magic as well.
Okay.
And really just trying to collect patterns from there into categories that fall within the programs I'm developing at the moment.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like there's so many resources around.
Oh, yes,
and
absolutely.
Finding that the set of patterns that just sort of naturally sit with the program design that I'm putting together.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm thinking of there is just like creating an artifact, which is, I'll just call like a deck of 52 cards.
Yeah.
So combining APG and the source book to have a deck of 52 cards. And I was wondering, they could actually be used, I could amount to people, ones that are particularly, you know, useful, like if there is something around the metastatic emotions, then I could hand that card out, for example.
Right.
So playing around with an idea like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's really powerful. You can even have that like as a gimmick, you know, specifically geared to the your niche. You can adapt the language a little bit. That'd be really good.
Yeah.
And then they can say, "Oh, I'm struggling with this." like and read up on it. Nice. You've got some great ideas, Neil.
Well, there's always lots of them. I've done some work on what I'm calling my own KPIs as well.
Okay.
So it's like, what's the smallest set of questions I need to be asking myself each day? And the first example of that is, I'd say, Neil, how many inspiring conversations did you have yesterday? And that I'd answer that question, is it zero or is it one?
Yeah.
And the days where I get, an answer of one are so different to the days where I think, oh, well, actually, there were zero.
Yeah. Nice. So you've
That's been yeah, useful for me to do that.
Yeah.
Also interesting for others in terms of how they seek and discover their KPI question like that as well.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. Nice. So what can I help you with for the next 2 weeks?
Well, I think maybe the conversational use of the patterns. I'll certainly go through the link that you've sent.
Yeah.
I think there's some work around that I'd like to pursue.
Yeah.
And then more generally, I think it's around the group coaching aspect.
Okay.
So I'm interested in, I suppose, people's experiences of that. What they've done, how they've found things that have worked or not worked. Yeah, so that'll be an aspect of my work as well, the group coaching.
Yeah.
Which would be complemented by the one-on-one that might fall out of the group processes that I'm involved in.
Absolutely. Yeah, so just what I can tell you from my experience is that most of the group coaching that I've done has been in the ACMC, in the smaller groups when you go into groups of six. And it's the two hats that you have of being more directive with the group on the one hand, and then being like, when do you coach? So when do you lead and when do you direct and when do you coach, and making that distinction. It also really depends on the kind of group that you have.
Yes.
But for me, that one of the frames in the back of my mind is the more they can find the answers for themselves, the better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is really like the same thing in coaching. So like you're still using your coaching skills. And then looking at, okay, what are the dynamics? So is the ability to step back. Have you done the trainer's training at all?
No, I haven't, no.
Okay. Yeah, so it's the ability to step back and looking at the entire system and seeing, who is responding to what. I once was a facilitator during a meeting, or a shadow coaching, and the president, the one who was the chairman of the meeting, he was rambling on, and I saw two people just leaning back and looking away, rolling their eyes, and he had no clue. So those kinds of things, it's about being able to pick up on that, calibrate that, giving feedback, taking it to that higher level, so that they become aware of not just of the content, but of the process that runs it.
Yes. Yes.
And that's really critical.
Yeah, thank you. That's useful.
Yeah.
So I think that's sort of my focus for the next couple of weeks around those two areas. Yeah, thank you.
Right. Yeah. And it's Do you have Michael's book on group coaching?
I did. I picked that up.
Okay, yeah.
Yes. Last ACMC, which I have read once, but I need to go back through it again.
Yeah. Yeah, that should be valuable as well to pick up pointers in there.
Thank you.
Yeah, and you can always email me if you have any questions, or post, you know, post a question on the Facebook group so that people can respond to that, and we can start a discussion.
Yeah, okay. Good.
Perfect. Thank you, Neil.
Thank you.
Okay, so Marit, how are you?
Hello, Femke. I'm fine.
Good.
It's been a beautiful summer day here today.
Oh, lovely. Mm-hmm. Lovely. And so, how about, where are you at? Have you been coached?
Yes. Yes, by Helge, since last time, you mean?
Yes. How was that?
We had two coaching sessions. Oh, it was very good, I think. Helge was very good. And I managed to get out of the bad things out.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really gave me energy to start again.
Nice.
Mm.
Oh, very good. I'm glad to hear that.
Mm. And I have, I'm almost through module one. That's
okay. Very good. Mm. Yep. So when you like have those things written up, and you've got your values and your mission, then please share them on the Facebook group.
Yes, I will.
Because that interaction really helps, and it's supportive, but it also can, you know, people can ask questions so that you can refine it, and, you know, that's what the group is for.
Yes, thank you.
Nice.
But there was, when I did the ranking year, the personal values. I'm not sure I understood if I did that right.
Okay, your personal values?
Yeah. When I made a list of the top 10 of my top 10 values, and then when I was going to give them points to according to, yes.
Okay.
But maybe that's maybe that's something I can write to you about, or is it something you could explain to me now?
I'm sure I can explain it to you now. At least I can try. So the idea is, if you have a list of 10, let's say you have a list of 10 values.
Yes.
Then you want to kind of know which one is the most important. And so you start off with the first two. Out of those two, which one is the most important? Okay, it's the second one. So you give that 1 point. And then you start to compare the second one to the third one. Now, let's say that the third one is more important than the second one. That also means that the third one is more important than the first one.
Yes.
So it gets 2 points. So it gets 1 point more than the one that it's being compared with.
Yes.
So then it gets 2 points. Let's say that the next one then, out of 3 and 4, is 3 is still more important. So it gets an extra point. Now it has 3 points.
Hmm.
Then you go to out of value 3 and value 5, which one is more important? Oh, that definitely It's definitely five. Then five is more important than four, then two, then one, and then three. So it gets four points.
Yes, that's how I did it. But then my values just became, you know, the what I thought was the highest value became the lowest value. And I don't. And then when I started doing it all over again.
Yeah, go ahead.
I didn't understand how to do it. Then I didn't understand. Is it exactly the same? Do it the same way again? Is that what I'm supposed to do?
Yeah, I mean, if...
Like you just explained to me.
Yeah, if you have a value that you think is most important, and you... And, like, so let's say that that one is at the bottom of the list, you've done everything else, then then the last one, you compare that one to the one that's most important. If that's most important one, in your experience, in how you feel about it, then that one, you need to give that one the most points. Because it would it would be more important. So let's say, like, you have, like, freedom is the most important, and then you have love. And love has got all the points up until now. Out of everything, that's the most important. And then that one has 9 points. And then you compare that with freedom, and you say, okay, out of love and freedom, which is most important? Well, definitely freedom. Then love already has 9 points, so you have to give freedom one more point than those 9 points.
Oh.
Right? Okay. Because the one that love has won out from all the other ones, so it has that many points. Yes. So then if freedom is more important, then you give it all of the points that love has plus one.
Oh, I see. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yes, thank you.
Very good.
Yes.
And go ahead.
No, I still have quite a lot of work to do, I think.
Okay.
It's a lot of things I feel that has to be, that I really have to do go through so that I'm really satisfied, because it as I can see it means a lot to have this all these things in place before I continue.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. Like Vanessa said, step by step.
Yes, I was thinking of that, step by step.
Absolutely, yeah. Okay, so are you good to go for the next 2 weeks?
Yes.
Very good. If you have any questions, feel free to email me.
Yeah, okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, so Dennis, how are you doing?
Hi, Finn. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Ah, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yes, I'm good too.
It's very cold here.
Oh, is it? Oh, yes, of course. You're in winter time, huh?
Yeah, snow on the back of the ranges at the back here. So where am I at? I've spent at least a couple of days looking at the information that I received back. I've only been able to get to this week due to other things happening. Analysing the responses I got back, and I'm just sort of putting together what could be the bones of a program, I suppose. some of the questions I have already been answered by some of the conversations.
Okay.
Just in terms for a minute or two, I was wondering whether I was putting a coaching program together or a training program. It sounds like they could go hand in hand. Not all the materials out of NLP or neurosemantic, some of it's culturally specific material.
Okay.
That comes from other fields.
Yeah.
I'm a little, what do I say, concerned about the amount of time that it's taking. And the amount of material that's around, that's come up in another conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've pulled out all of my neurosemantic books and NLP practitioner and masters, and I intend to go through those and get more specific about what the content might be and where the material might come. But because this is also a leadership program for people in leadership positions working with Māori or Indigenous people, then I'm also looking at Indigenous leadership frameworks.
Right, yeah.
And stuff like that. So is that, that's all relevant, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, by all means, don't limit yourself to just neurosemantics or NLP. You know, like if something is relevant and you can use different resources that are going to be beneficial for your client, I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So I've got meetings lined up in the next few weeks with the support team that I pulled together.
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't worked out that efficient as just flicking out emails and expecting to get responses. Some of the responses have, descriptions that are anomalies in them, and I really need to talk face-to-face to people to get down to the specifics of what's behind the words that they're using.
Yeah.
So it's back to the time thing, really. I mean, this how much time can I take on this? I feel this getting dragged out in terms of time, but I feel that I also really need to clench this.
Yeah.
Without, of course, going OTT and getting analysis paralysis.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you need to, that's a fine line there.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. And the thing is also, you don't have to have your program all finished before you start selling.
So what does that mean about completing the rest of the modules in terms of marketing and et cetera, et cetera? I mean, do we have to get through those to be able to start selling?
Not at all, no. Like, well, and like one of the modules, once you've got most of it set up, and I wouldn't, you know, like you're, if you work on your program for a couple of weeks and then you have access to the next module, then that's going to be focusing on, you know, like the low-hanging fruit, if you will. So the people that you already know, that you can already start talking to and already reaching out, you've got a general idea of your program. But even if you have like 3 modules out of 10 finished, you can already start working. So it's not like an all or nothing thing. You want to do that like simultaneously, if you will. So you can,
right,
you can say, hey, I'm going to spend some time on my program today, but I'm also going to continue with the next modules.
Right. Yeah, okay.
So
I'm thinking I have to have at least a draft overview of the whole program before I take it out to the people I got responses from.
I guess.
That's what I was thinking. Which means I can't spend too much time on detail at the moment.
Right. Obviously, like, the whole point of making a business work is getting an income out of it. And so that means selling. So once you've got, you already, if you know the present state and the desired state, and you can speak to that and say, okay, I've made a program that'll help you from A to B. It includes some coaching, it includes some training. And it's, you know, and it's so many sessions, then you have enough information, you know, like it really comes down to creating as you go along. It's going to be a prototype. I guarantee you that. So you're going to be refining and making it better towards the future. So, yeah, have the general idea, and by all means, just go out and see if people are interested and get people to buy it. So move on to the next modules as well.
Oh, okay. Don't get just stuck here. Have a look at those other modules.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Sound good? What was that about?
Oh, it just gives me, it opens it up.
Okay.
I was getting quite fixated on having to get this completed.
Okay.
At least getting an overdraft completed.
Okay.
I was a bit overwhelmed when I pulled out all my books yesterday and thought, oh my God, how much time I'm going to spend going through all those and getting them down. But what I need to do is get a draft down.
Absolutely. Just a general overview.
Yeah.
And then you can start getting into the details. Because otherwise, because I'm going to do the ACMC Revisited starting September 1, I have the first several modules I have finished, but I certainly don't have everything finished because I can do that. I can do that over time.
Right. Okay. But you had the draft to start with.
Oh yeah, I know. I have the draft. Obviously, like the draft is already there because it's a system. But same thing with. I have to tell you, with the business program, I knew where to start and I knew the overview, but all the details I didn't quite know. And so I just started with the program and created the modules as I went along, and that allowed me also to listen to what my clients needed.
Right, yeah, okay.
So.
Okay.
Sounds good?
That sounds good, Fim. Yeah. Yeah, thank
Perfect.
You.
All right. So good to go for the next 2 weeks?
Good to go for the next 2 weeks, thanks.
Awesome. High five.
Yay, high five.
Email me when you have questions.
Okay, will do. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So Holly just mentioned that she has kids on the background, so she's... And her mic doesn't work so well, so she is okay not to share today. That's okay too. I have recorded the session, so I'm going to be posting that so you can listen back. And stay active on the Facebook group so that we can start discussions and learn from one another. And also, if you just want to write me personally, feel free. That's what I'm there for. All right. Well, thanks, everyone. Have a great day or evening. Depending on where you're at, and we will speak again 2 weeks from now at the same time. All right, bye.